Sí.
I know the quiet. Everybody's sitting in the gallery.
Ah, this is not coming.
Okay. So he looks at this one all the time.
Say to the honourable members that last week I was at a meeting of the heads of missions where we had all our heads of missions from around the world in Pretoria, and we had presentations from various departments, and our DDG presented there on behalf of the DG, and the presentation on tourism was well received. It was like I was in the select committee meeting. The type of reception that the presentation got and the type of concerns that people are raising are very profound concerns, similar to the concerns that we have as members of this select committee. So with the annual report that you're presenting to us today, we are also appreciator of the times that you have utilized to send the report to us well in advance. I received it more than a week ago, but we decided to hold it back and distribute it last week only to the members, but there you are, honorable members. Can I immediately know who's going to lead in the presentation? But you know the members of the committee already. I think it's just going to be important that we say we have right there on the other side next to the Honorable Ntebe is the Honorable Kaula, who is representing the province of KwaZulu-Natal. Welcome, Honorable Kaula.
The
Kingdom of KwaZulu-Natal. DJ, Hefting, we give you. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members and Honorable Chair. If we could introduce our team, Chairperson, if that's acceptable. I am Shamila Chetiar, I'm the Acting DG, but my role in the department is as the Deputy Director General responsible for destination development.
Good morning, Honourable Members. Chair, my name is Nangama Pinyu. I'm the Chief Director responsible for strategy and systems in the department.
Good morning, Chair and Members. Ralph Ackerman, I'm the Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Anemi Malan. I'm the DDG responsible for tourism, research policy and international relations.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Zula Matuma. I'm the DDG responsible for corporate management.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Murongwa Rampili, DDG for Tourism and Sector Support Services.
Thank you. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, I think just a few opening remarks to contextualise the annual report. Oh, why is it back?
Good morning, Pieter Negat. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Office of the Director General of Tourism.
Thank you, Chair. Just a few opening remarks. I think to contextualize the last financial year, the organization completely restructured. We started on the 1st of April with an entirely new structure in the organization, and we used to joke about it that only the DG and CFO actually had the jobs they had in the previous year, because for most people in the organization, their jobs changed, even if it was not substantially. There were different combinations of work packages, and so for everyone it was a period of change. We are very pleased that despite those changes, and in fact because of a proper change management process and support for staff who were in new roles, the department actually achieved over 90% of its targets in the last financial year. And we actually spent 99.7% of the budget. The annual report is an unqualified audit. There are no matters of emphasis, although there are some findings which the CFO will speak to. And I think within the context of all of the changes and the new spaces people found themselves in, we are very pleased that there was very minimal disruption to the work and to service delivery. So I think, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, without further ado, I will hand over to our CFO and then we will take the presentation as it is structured.
Thanks, Acting DG. Just to take you through our Auditor General's report, as I think DG said, we received an unqualified audit report on our predetermined objectives. It was reported performance information is useful and reliable in all material respects. The Auditor General looked at our Program 2, Tourism Policy Planning, and Program 3, Destination Development, and also Program 4, the Enterprise and Visitor Support Services. Just to give you an indication on the three things that basically was wrong in our financial statement, we had two material misstatements in our disclosure notes. The one related to prepayments and advances, where the department put all the prepayments and the prepayments, and then according to the modified cash standard, we need to split it. So what we had to do is any prepayment to a private institution that is now implementing agents for the EPWP project had to be classified as a prepayment. Any prepayment to a public entity had to be classified as an advance payment. So the department disclosed it, but they disclosed it all under prepayments, and we just had to split it between prepayments and advances. And it doesn't disclose enough, so it does not affect your income statement and your balance statement. The same also goes for the capital work in progress. There were seven projects that was completed that was not handed over. Now, the department keep those projects under capital work in progress. And the Auditor General said, no, as soon as the project is completed, we need to classify it under capital. So we also just have to do that reclassification to take it out under capital work in progress and then to put it into capital. And then you will also see that it was disclosed that we procured items under below 500,000 Rand with only obtaining one price quotation. The total amount was 271,000 Rand, and it was six items in the year. Where we requested quotations, the department only received one quotation, and then we proceeded because of not holding back on our service delivery. But we noted the finding, and we've also corrected it. What we do now is to say that we at least need to give the suppliers a longer period of time to provide us with quotations to see that we do obtain free quotations. In a case where you do not get free quotations, then obviously myself or the accounting officer need to sign off to provide the reasons for that in accordance with the Treasury regulations. On the financial information, that is on slide 8. You will see that our administration program has spent 100% of its budget. The tourism policy and planning has also spent 100% of its budget. Destination development spent 99.8% of its budget. And then enterprise and visitor support services spent 98.2% of its budget. The small variance that was there was one project, energy efficiency project that we had in the Kruger National Park, which was not completed, and we could not do the final payment. The final payment only happened in the 18-19 financial year. You will see that our total expenditure was 99.7%. On the next slide, it gives an indication of our spending. Administration was 12%. Tourism policy and planning, which includes our transfer payment to SA Tourism, 56%. Destination development, 20%. And then enterprise and visitor support services, 12%. On the next slide, it is just a breakdown of the economic classification. You can see that our spending on our compensation of employees, we only had 600,000 Rand left at the end of the year. We did receive approval from the Minister of Finance on the 31st of March to increase our compensation of two employees' budget with 12 million rand. And we had to then do violence between the various programs so that we can comply with the PFMA, not to exceed compensation of employees per program. You will also see that on goods and services, there is the 5 million, and that is the amount that is linked to the Kruger National Park, the solar project. And then it also shows our amount that we had available at the end of the year. It's a 6.1 million rand. On the next slide, it gives you the actual expenditure and the, just to show you where did the money go to. The current payments are 28%, transfers and subsidies 62%, and then our capital assets was 10%. Yeah. And then on the next slide, it is just to show that and the current transfers and capital, the money that was left at the end of the financial year, and because we're on the modified cash accounting system, we need to surrender the unspent funds back to National Treasury at the end of the financial year, other than public entities. Thank you, Chair. I hand over to Mungabe for the performance information.
Thank you, Chair. The slide 14 shows you the pie chart on how the prices perform against the plan target for the year. The same information is presented in the next slide. You will see that under corporate management, 15 of their 17 targets were fully achieved, with one significant work having been done but not quite completed, and one of those targets not meeting our minimum threshold of 50% target to be considered significant work progressing. The program food, tourism policy and planning completed all their planned targets for the year, 16 out of 16, with destinations development achieving 6 out of their 7 targets incomplete, with one significant work having been done, more than 50% work having been done, but not fully completed. And under tourism sector support services, you have 23 of their 23 targets fully completed, one had significant work done in that more than 50% of the projects were completed, with two being below 50% and therefore categorized as and not achieved. In total, the department then achieved more than 90% of its targets for the year 2017-18, with 4.5% being 50% beyond, progress beyond 50%, and 4.5% also being not achieved unless they were below 50% progress. The DDGs in their presentations will then outline which are those targets for the year.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members. I will be presenting Program 2, which is Tourism Policy and Planning, but it entails Tourism Research, Policy and International Relations, as from slide 17. As was mentioned by Nomzamo and the CFO, I'm very proud to say that the team managed to achieve all 16 targets that was planned for the previous financial year, and we also spent 100% of our budget, but I will take the committee through what our achievements. Our first KPA on slide 18 speaks to the number of platforms that we facilitate to improve tourism sector stakeholder engagement and the implementation of the National Tourism Sector Strategy. In the period, we had three platforms. The first one speaks to the annual National Tourism Stakeholder Forum. That is a forum that we host annually to discuss the implementation of the MTSS amongst other matters. In the period under review, we hosted two of these forums meetings, and because of the need to look into how the industry, the sector can live up to the SONA in March, after the SONA this year. So we had an extra platform or an extra meeting that we facilitated because of the demand. On slide 19, the second platform is our annual public lecture that we host. We host it in the month that we celebrate Tourism Day and Tourism Month. In the previous financial year, we hosted it in Mbombela in partnership with Mpumalanga Tourism and Parks Agency under the theme Sustainable Tourism, a Tool for Development. We also host annually a tourism research seminar. That's our third platform, and that platform is aimed at disseminating the research studies that we do in collaboration with our universities. It also provides an opportunity for the students that we sponsor to have a poster exhibition. And in the previous financial year, we also started to add a practical workshop to the seminar where we go through the tools that we have developed so that there's a practical understanding of how to use it. So that, honorable members, are the three platforms. On slide 20, we discuss, the target is around the policy bulletins. And the first one speaks to, we have two policy developments. The first is we do biannually publish tourism bulletins. The focus is on proactive tracking and analyzing the global and national policy development with impact on tourism. And we then publish it on our website, and those were done. We also, in the previous financial year, developed a policy position on the sharing or the unintended implications of the development in the sharing economy, but specifically focusing on the accommodation sector, and that was to inform the inclusion or the revision of the tourism bill on this related to this aspect. On slide 21, speaks to our monitoring and evaluation reports. We planned four reports, which we then also delivered. The first one is the 2016 State of Tourism Report, which we developed as planned, and it was subsequently also published on our website. We also did an evaluation report on our food safety program and our incentive program with specific focus on the market access incentive on slide 22. And then we do also develop an annual National Tourism Sector Strategy Implementation Report that gives a sense of where we are in terms of the implementation of the MTSS, and that was also done. Slide 23 speaks to the number of information systems and frameworks that we develop. The first one speaks to the design of the concept or the concept on the design and implementation plan of the National Tourism Information and Monitoring System as per the Act, and that concept was developed. We also plan to train the youth as data capturers for the collection of the data that will go into the NTIMS. We targeted two per municipality, and that was done. We also have two mobile applications, one on tourist guides and the second one on visitor information center, which we call the South African Tourist Travel Guide Directory and the Visitor Information Center app. Those were developed 2 or 3 years ago, honorable members, but we make sure that we maintain and update them on an annual basis, and that we have done. One of them also won an award last year on slide 24, it speaks to the number of initiatives that we facilitated in multilateral fora. And that the two initiatives that we planned for and we delivered in the previous financial year was in preparation for South Africa's hosting of the BRICS Summit this year, as well as the chairing of the BRICS Summit, as well as South Africa's chairship of EORA in the current financial year. So in the first instance, we developed a draft plan for the hosting of the tourism work stream during the BRICS Summit, which we completed. And then in the second instance, we developed a final plan for the hosting of the tourism work stream during our South Africa's chairship of EORA, which we developed and which was approved by Cabinet. On slide 25, it speaks to the number of initiatives that we facilitate for regional integration. We've planned two in the previous financial year. The one is our annual ministerial session that Minister hosts during Indaba every year. And the ministerial session was hosted in May. And the theme explored the impact of technology on the growth of tourism on the continent and government's response. And then the second initiative, honourable members, a couple of years ago we started with the sharing of best practices workshop, which is an annual event. When we started it with the objective of advancing the implementation of our agreements that we signed, our bilateral agreements that we signed within Africa. It has subsequently evolved and it goes beyond Africa now. But that was successfully hosted. We started to also host it in partnership with provinces. In this financial year, we hosted in partnership with Mpumalanga. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. That is the presentation on programs two.
The Destination Development Program. In the year under review, the program spends 99.8% of its budget and achieves 6 of the 7 targets. Slide 27 talks to our work on destination enhancement, and in the work that we were doing last year, it involved work at Shangoni Gate and the Palabore Wild Activity Hub in the Kruger National Park. This is really about enhancing new product development in that space. The National Heritage Monument Park, which is in Swane, and then we actually did interpretive tourism signage at the National Heritage sites in various parts of the country. All of those targets were successfully achieved, and the work in these areas has proceeded very well. The next set of targets actually talks to our oceans economy work. The first target is related to the Blue Flag program. And so we have 50 Blue Flag beaches, but we're also been working on 25 additional beaches to try to get them to Blue Flag status. And that target was achieved. The program at present, I think, employs 300 young people on various beaches across the country. The next one is the Indian Atlantic route, and this is really about a marketing concept that tries to unify the entire coastline of South Africa. In the year under review, it was really about mapping all of the products that currently exist from a supply perspective, also mapping all of the infrastructure in that space, and then looking at demand and figuring out what the gap is between them. I'm very pleased to say that we now have a very comprehensive document. It's almost 357 pages, to be precise, that has mapped all of the products supplied in four coastal provinces, and has also looked at the demand and mapped a way forward for 6 areas of work, which include marketing and product development, as well as supporting infrastructure development. So that is the actual value of the work. The next set of targets is related to planning work. And one of the challenges that I think we have in the tourism space is that while there are areas that are very well developed, Gauteng, the Western Cape, KZN, there are also areas in the country that are not so well developed and have huge potential for tourism. So the planning work that we've been doing is critically important to actually create new product where it doesn't exist. We completed the destination planning manual, and we also completed a planning manual for tourism precincts using the recovery street as our template. The important thing about this work is that in this financial year, we are actually rolling out these planning manuals across the nine provinces to practically plan for both destinations and precincts within those provinces. The work has already commenced at a pace, and I'm told that there have already been requests for additional workshops because provinces and local authorities see real value in being able to use the manual to practically plan for the development of new precincts or new destinations. The very last target then speaks to our expanded public works program. The first target is the one that we didn't achieve fully in this year. The target was related to seven projects being funded. Thank you, Nomzamo. But in fact, six were funded, and the reason that the seventh project was not funded was that we also underwent a very extensive evaluation process of all of our projects, 32 of them, as well as of the actual program itself, and that evaluation was completed by the Government Technical Advisory Center, which is based at Treasury. So one of the projects, which is the Lekla Moreng Dam, was part of the 32 projects that were assessed. And what the finding came back to say to us was that we needed to reconceptualize that development because as it was originally intended, it would not have yielded a return on investment had we spent the money on it. So that specific project was in a planning stage. What has happened to it subsequently is that we have now completed the reconceptualization of the project. And the project will commence with, of course, a different scope of work. But that is the reason that specific target, which is the only one, wasn't met. And then the next target was actually exceeded. This is our full-time equivalents, which are related to job creation in the expanded public works program. The target was 3,085, and we achieved 3,457 FTEs. The reason for that was that over the years we have learned a lot about the dropout rate in our expanded public works program. And what we did this year was to recruit more than the number that we needed on the program in order to try to accommodate for dropouts. It has a positive spin-off in that we actually have exceeded that target. And that is the last target in the destination development. I'm going to hand over to my colleague, DDG Rampeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to present on, we normally call it tourism sector support services, but it's indicated as enterprise and visitor support services. It's a branch with four chief directories, enterprise development and transformation, tourism sector, human resource development, provincial and local government support as well as visitor and services, and the TIP resides in this branch. We had 26 targets. Out of the 26, we were able to achieve 23, which amounts to 88.46%. And in terms of the budget, we were able to spend 98.2%. The variance, as already indicated by the CFO, was due to the fact that we had to comply to environmental regulations before we could proceed, as far as we couldn't pay that amount before the project was completed. But as we speak now, the project is completed. The first key performance indicator is about the number of initiatives supported to promote BEE implementation. We had four initiatives that we supported, starting first with a monitoring report on the implementation of the amended tourism BEE sector code. We were able to come up with that report. The report is available, and we were able to also present it to the portfolio committee. I'm not sure if we did present it to the select committee. We may make space to select it to the select committee as well. The second initiative was on the tourism sector transformation in Daba, which we were able to hold at the Kopanong Conference Center last year, October. And this was the platform that helped us to dialogue and extend tourism sector transformation strategies and investment opportunities for us to be able to make sure that black people are able to participate in the economy. Out of that, we were able to start working on the strategy related to transformation, which I think after it is approved, we'll be able to also share with the black community. The third initiative is on guidelines for commercialization of state-owned attractions. We were able to come up with the guidelines internally, supported by National Treasury as well as SANParks. Currently, what we want to do is to get a legal person or company to make sure that we comply to all the regulations related to commercialization. So we'll be able to start engaging again the provinces so that we finally are able to approve this. The last on the transformation issue is establishing funding mechanisms through partnerships. We're able to come into an MOU with NEF, and with IDC that was done a year before, because they are managing for us what we call the Green Incentive Tourism Program, and NEF is managing for us the Tourism Transformation Fund. On slide 34, under domestic tourism, this is another area where we're not able to meet the target. And basically, after restructuring, this was the new unit, which when we restructured, I think our resourcing of this unit was a little bit under, and the people in this space, especially because they were new and this the area for them was also new, they couldn't meet the targets as set. But the main issue for the domestic tourism, as we all know, is to try to address the gaps in terms of making sure that people are able to access the attractions. In terms of affordability as well, these are the things that we're looking towards, hence in this space, we're also doing what we call social tourism. Seasonality and even geographic spread, these are the things that we're looking at. But what was very crucial was that we started engaging with tour operators who are emerging to go take them through workshops in order to understand their space so that we'll be able to come up with an incubator so that they engage in the economy. I think it indicates, okay, I've already alluded to that. We can go to, okay, in terms of a corrective measure, as we speak now, we have the framework on social tourism and as well as the scheme, which we have not yet tested, but we will be testing. So the targets that we didn't meet last year, we're able to meet them around quarter two this year. On slide 35, this is the scheme, which was one of those areas that we were not able to meet, and I've indicated that we have managed to meet this within the current financial year. And we're also able to at least have a resource, a human resource, into that space so that they're able to do their work. In terms of enterprise development, we have supported 400 SMEs, and as we know that the program seeks to respond to the acute needs for development of tourism enterprises by providing appropriate support to SMEs, and these 400 are spread across the country. The other target was to come up with a long-term framework for enterprise development. Initially, we had if honorable members remember, some 3 years back, we had TEP, which was supporting our SMEs. But we took the function and we are doing it ourselves. Hence, we felt that we need to have a framework it will guide us in terms of long term, how do you continue to support the SMME. That framework has been done. On slide 37, still under SMME development, we were expected to support the two incubators that we did some 2 years back, and at the same time coming up with one new incubator. We're able to support the two existing, which is Manyeleti as well as in Northwest, the Bilanesberg one. And we came up with two more, one in Palaboro and the other one in Mir. The aim of these incubators is to make them aware of the value chain within tourism and to be able to get support from each other so that they're able to understand that if I am dealing with producing vegetables, it will be easy for me to give those vegetables to either Sun City. I'm referring to Sun City because the first incubator, that was the hub that we used. And with Manyeleti, the hub is Kruger National Park. And with Palaboro, it will still be Kruger National Park. But with Mir, although this was done before, what we have come to realize that with Mir is now, the community fund is the 10th World Heritage Site, meaning that it will serve as a hub for the Mir incubator going forward. The next is slide 38, which deals with tourism in incentive program, which its main task is to give access in terms of markets to our SMME. Tourism grading also falls under this. Energy efficiency, we have referred to earlier, saying that IDC is managing for us what we call the Green Incentive Tourism Program, and at the same time, universal accessibility, which we are piloting. Below the incentive program, which I'll further indicate that the transformation fund falls in this space. Unfortunately, the transformation fund, we were able to launch it this year. We did a lot of planning in the previous year, and this year it has moved on. With the Green Tourism Fund, we were able to launch it during the transformation summit last year in October, and it is also progressing. The next target was to give support to 5 community tourism enterprises so that they are able to go into the village. And the 5 villages are indicated in the slide. Putaditaba, that is Betesuk in Putaditaba, Rampampa in Northwest, Villa Gazi, Tristan Gazi, no, it's in Soweto, Sindhishia, that is in Simangaliso, as well as Emma Zizini in the KZN, around the state of Kraken. Slide 39. This is dealing with the visitor services. We are expected to initiate an audit of the tourist guides register. Provincially, we don't have this in a uniform way. So we wanted to have a register that will be uniform across the provinces. We're able to come up with that. The other target was to upgrade on the security features on the tourist guide identification badges. This project were able to be assisted by the government printing work. So we are already done with this, meaning that the badges that will be on the tourist guide, their features will be secured. It cannot be, what's the word, replicated legally. And at the same time, we wanted to also centralize the issuing of the
not the badge, but the certificate that we normally give to them. The other two areas is to support the two National Tourism Information Gateways, which the current ones being OR and Kinshasa. We expected to come up with a third one, which we couldn't, but negotiations were going forward. Hence, we have this one being a yellow. We'll pursue this, but outside our APP, that meaning it will be within our business plan, so that we're able to deal with all the negotiations that are expected, so that we don't find ourselves being regressed in terms of not meeting the target of coming up with a Fed gateway. Slide 41. This one responds to the complaints. We are also expected to deal with the complaints coming from tourists, and we indicated the target is 100%, and we're able to deal with the complaints that we received totally, all of them. The following target is the number of capacity building programs implemented. All the training programs were 10 in number, starting first with the chef program. We expected to train 777, and we're able to meet that target. The following one is on the sommelier training course. We expected to do 300. We're also able to achieve that target. The third one is training and 2,000 trainees in the youth and hospitality service training program. This is also across all the programs. Maybe I need to indicate the second one, the sommelier one, is only within four provinces. Unfortunately, the fourth, which is Northern Cape, is further than it is in terms of the numbers. And the third one is across all the provinces, including the first one, we get or we recruit young people from all the provinces. Slide 42 is on the food safety program. 500 learners were targeted. We're able to achieve that. The following one is establishing a coordinating body for THRB. When we work on the review of the THRB strategy, one of the recommendations was to come up with this body, which will be able to coordinate. The body consists of the Department of Higher Education, the QCTO, all the formations of ensuring that education is done in a proper way. The sixth one is local government tourism induction program with a focus on rural areas. We were able to do that within the 10 municipalities. The NTCE, which is our annual event, which we hold normally in a province for 3 years, we were able to do it for the first year in Northwest. Slide 43. The eighth one is the training of 20 black women. We are doing this together with UNISA. We're able to enroll the 40 black women with UNISA. Initially, the recruitment was a little bit low, but we're able to reach that figure. They are currently being trained by UNISA. Slide 44. Number 9, two tourist guiding skills development programs identified and implemented. We upskilled tourist guides in Mapungubwe as well as Ukwahlamba, and we also did training of new entrants in adventure guiding. If I remember well, this was done in Northwest as well as Northern Cape. The last training project, which is number 10, is the training of city youth on resource efficiency. This we are doing together with the Cleaner Production Center of South Africa, and as I indicated, also supported by IDC. Last year we were able to do this in three provinces, that was Limpopo, KZN, as well as Gauteng. This year it's Eastern Cape, Free State. I'm not remembering the other. So we'll be doing the last three next year. So we'll be able to have covered all the 9 provinces by next year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. I'm going to present on which is corporate management. Just starting off by indicating that under this program, we achieved slightly over 88% of our targets, which is 15 of the 17 targets. 2 of our targets were not fully able to achieve, and I will spend a little bit more time on them. The expenditure, as already indicated, was 100% of our budget of $232 million, and with this budget we're able to support the department with legal services, strategy development, HR management and development, and communication. I will then start with slide 46 to indicate that during the year under review, we were able to develop our strategic document, which includes the strategic plan and APP for 2018-19, which we were able to review, the 2016-17 APP report, as well as our quarterly performance reports were also implemented, produced on the implementation of our strategic plan and APP, and those were submitted to the Auditor General and to Parliament. The quarterly risk mitigation reports were also analyzed and submitted to our risk management committee on time. The oversight reports for SA Tourism were also prepared and submitted to the minister for consideration. On slide 47, we're talking here about the vacancy rate, which we struggled with following the restructure. We started the financial year with a vacancy rate of 14.6%. However, through the hard work of the team, by the end of the financial year, we brought it down to 6.2%, which is below our target of 8%. So we've done very well there. On the representation of targeted groups, the one area around representation of women SMS is the one we were not able to achieve. The target there is 50%. By the end of the financial year, our achievement was at 49.3%, and this is because of the movement of our staff. We lost a female SMS, and that affected the target. However, as we filled that post in the next quarter of the next financial year, it brought us back to 52%, and that's where we still are currently. So that's going to be a target we're always going to be watching because it's right at the knife edge. On slide 48, we have a target of 3% for people with disabilities. However, we've continued to keep it above the target at 4.7%. And then on black representation, we're also above the target of 91.5%. On the implementation of our workplace skills plan, we're able to develop that entirely. And of course, the workplace skills plan is informed by the development plans of our employees, which we use to increase capacity in the department. And that's critical during this period where we're not able to fill vacancies due to economic constraints, the financial constraints in government. So it's important that we continue to provide our employees with the additional training and other HR support. On slide 49, we're able again to fully comply with our labor relations cases in the handling of those. And then the next one deals with the implementation of our ICT strategic plan. The phase 3 of the strategic plan was implemented. And then on slide 50, we're talking about our financial statements. Our three quarterly interim financial statements were compiled and we submitted those to National Treasury on time. Our annual financial statement, we compiled it and submitted it to both Treasury, National Treasury, and to the Auditor General. On the annual internal audit plan, that was also fully implemented, and this was to ensure that our department maintains effective and transparent systems of finance and risk management and internal control. slide 51 deals with the implementation of our communication strategy, which we were able to implement in its entirety. Just in summary, this was to ensure that there's outreach to our stakeholders, particularly our stakeholders in outlying areas, in rural areas, but also in townships. We need access to information, and we need to be aware of our programs. So our developmental communication strategy was implemented right along with our broader strategy. Slide 52 deals with the amendments to the Tourism Act. This is the second target that we're not able to achieve. There we were expected to submit the amendment bill to Parliament. However, due to the need to finalize the policy review, engage in consultations with the different stakeholders, there were delays, there were additional areas that needed further attention, for example, regarding the sharing economy, specifically the issue of accommodation through online platforms, the grading of tourism establishments, ensuring that there's quality control there, and the issues of professionalization of our tourist guides. Those were the areas that needed additional attention. I'm happy to say that all those issues have now been addressed. In this month, the department was able to present to TCAC on the bill. We're also finalizing with DPME the final CS. We'll also be presenting to clusters. I believe the next one is ESET on the 15th of November. So while there were delays initially, we do see movement and we believe that the bill will make its way to Parliament. And then on the last slide, it deals with the with our procurement from BBB compliant businesses, and that we've been able to achieve 100%. And then on the human resource information, slide 55 is basically a summary of what I've indicated. It indicates, of course, the ratios there, that in total we have 513 employees. That includes the 25 interns that were with the department and have since completed the program. The next slide on 56 is a further breakdown on the representation for the department. A lot of departments struggle with people with disabilities. However, the department has been successful in that not only have we been able to go above the 2% target of government, but even on our own target of 3%, we've been able to attract people with disabilities at 4.7%. And I think I will stop there. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. I found it very interesting how you were all sharing in your presentation ownership from the DGGs on the areas that they're responsible for is appreciated. Honourable members, there we have the presentation. I'm ensured that we would not have many questions, but we'll have questions. So I would also then allow you to make comments, and maybe because we're going to have more comments, I would ask that we maybe confine ourselves to a maximum 3 minutes. Honorable Mahwebu is first, Honorable Faber, and then we have Honorable Matevula that has joined us there on the other side. The members of the department may not know her. She's from the Limpopo province. Let's have the three. Let's have four. That will be followed by Honorable Ndebe. Honorable Mokwebo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the Tourism Department and the team, and congratulations on your unqualified audit report. Just a few things, Chairperson. When I refer to page 5 and 9 on financial information, then I go to destination development and just a general remark. Let's go quickly to page 5. CFO, you've mentioned that all the issues raised by the Auditor General on compliance with laws and regulations. There was an issue the AG wasn't happy with the 271,006 items. Now, I just want to find out, just to get a clear understanding, these six items were six items at one transaction, totaling 271, where you say you could only get one code instead of three as required by Trader Regulation 16A. Or was it six different transactions totaling to 271? I need clarity on that, and I'll tell you why. But until I get the answer, I'll leave it here. Page 30 quickly. Excuse me. Now, on page 30, I see a lot of endeavors on on these projects, the PWP projects, that are funded by the department. We all know that PWP is a beautiful program, given our challenges of unemployment. But when you look at the seven funded projects, I don't seem to see any project, and if I'm wrong, please correct me, from the Eastern Cape. Have you done any work in the Eastern Cape? Because I will not forgive you if you haven't, because it's one of the poorest provinces in this country and vastly rural and far-flung. So we really need, thank you, Chair. We really need an answer from that point. I'll appreciate that. And then on page 30, just generally on destination development. If I look at how you're spending your resources, and I want to use page 9 as a reference on how you're spending your resources, you're spending 20% on destination development and spend 56% of your resources on policy and planning. I'm worried about this, Chairperson, because if you're spending 50% of your resources just on planning and policy, it must translate to concrete results. And in my view, it must translate to destination development, because destination development creates jobs. And we have really a crisis in this country where unemployment is rising, you know, rapidly, and is choking our people now. Is sitting on this side of the table, we are worried about the constituencies you're representing. And I cannot understand, unless you can explain to me, why are you spending 20% of your resources? You shouldn't be spending more, or at least more than 20%, because the targets may be misleading in my view, Chairperson, with due respect. We've got 6 out of 7 targets, but how much are you spending? Because to me, there has to be that balance to say, look, I'm not worried about targets. You can count them as many, but I want to see the resources you are putting, and I want to see the impact of those resources changing the people's lives on the ground. Now, 6 out of 7 targets may sound commendable and beautiful, but you look at the resources that we are spending, 20% of the resources. My question is, should we spend more on destination development? I'll give an example, for instance, where there's too much potential on destination development, but we're spending so less. So it means we are missing, you're missing fertile ground where you can change people's lives and create employment. I come from this land, in Tanzania. Tanzania is the boxing maker. It's got that history. Way back in the 70s, the first world heavyweight champion, everybody, but you come from Tanzania, it's London. And Vianney Boom, World Cup, I can name them. These are world heavyweight champions. But it breaks my heart when you go to Tanzania, the second largest township in South Africa today, Soweto being number one. There's little that their tourism seems to be doing there. Your development, is, you can turn that township into a tourism attraction, you know, destination because of its history. And one would want, I'll make an example again. King Williamstown is still East London. I mean, just outside East London. They still Biko Foundation. They went on their own to prove to you that this concept works. They've turned, you know, that Ginsberg, small township where Steve Biko was born, turned it into a tourist attraction. They've built in the last few years what they call Steve Biko Foundation. You know what you can have there? Tourists, international tourists, domestic tourism in that township. People living there are getting jobs now. You can hire that for wedding venues. You can go there and learn the history, sit in a coffee shop inside that building and have a coffee. You can, hire that for any other event that you want. And it has created many jobs. Now, I am asking yourselves today, tell me, what are you planning from Tanzania? And I've given you one example of Tanzania history on boxing, as boxing maker in South Africa today. I have asked this with the CEO, and I will ask this to you as well, as the mother department. And lastly, Chairperson, my general remark to save time will be, when you're spending your resources, Chairperson, through you, I'll need your guidance. I would want to see the matrix that the department is using in spending their resources across the department. Because I'm asking this because you'll hear Kuta Lichaba, you'll hear Mtuba Tuba in KZN, you'll hear Claude Bestard in that, you'll hear Kimberley in Northern Cape. That's fine, but we would want the resources to be spent where they are desperately needed. You don't have to choose my province if there's more programs in Northern Cape. So you have to have a matrix to say, on program one, on program two, we had X amount of budget as destination development. We have analyzed the 9 provinces, and we've decided with the limited resources, we prioritize in this financial year these departments. And this is the matrix we've used, I mean, these provinces, and this is the matrix we used in coming to that, I mean, in implementing, you know, the expenditure. Now, instead of just saying, we've done this, we've done that, because people, they'll keep accusing you to say, you are spending because Chet is from KZN. I'm making an example, Chet. They'll say, we are spending because you are from Northern Cape or whatever. I'm making an example. So we have to be able to take each other to confidence to say, look, we had X amount of budget as the entire department. We took that budget, began to break it down to our, you know, subsections or, you know, subsections and then development, destination development, blah, 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 blah. And then this is how we spend this money. We were informed by this analysis we have made across the 9 provinces. Instead of just spending the money without understanding why it went to that province, why it didn't, because until we get to that, to me, I was trying to go home and say I understand why more is spent in X province and less in X province. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. You went 15 seconds over your time. So we're going to deduct 15 seconds from Ondel
Ntebe. That's only fair. Hello,
Mother. Thank you, Chief. Listen, mine will be short and sweet. I just want to also talk on the expenditure transfer program. Chairperson, to me this is totally wrong. I mean, I've been in marketing my whole life. And to have destination development 20% and tourism policy 56% is totally cockeyed. It's the wrong way around. I mean, usually on policy planning, this is when you start with any business, you do policy planning. It's not as if tourism has only started now. It has been there for many years. So my question is, why spending more than half on policy planning instead of what we really, really need now is on tourist development in South Africa, specifically for tourists in our country to get our own tourism going here, not just catering for the overseas people. Then the second one I would like to know is, I see there was the Palaborga and on the Mere Northern Cape at the Kumani Sun. I want to know how much money was spent there, because we know that there's money spent in the provinces, but we never know how much. And then the 400 enterprises that were supported for development, how many of those we're representing our provinces, and I'm quite concerned at this moment with the Northern Cape. How many of these 400 enterprises which were supported for development from this SMME are from the Northern Cape? And are you establishing them as SMMEs, or are you just supporting them? And what is the progress made and results we're getting at this stage? Because supporting SMMEs is one thing, just to start it up. But they usually die down if you don't maintain them, etc. So if you can give us feedback, and I specifically want to know on my province. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Before I allow the Honourable Matebula, I see you trying to look at your other packages to get the logistical data. We want to assure you that we have a rule that if you don't have the data, you can give it to us in writing later. And it's up to you. If you can find it, super. If not, just say you'll send it to us and that's acceptable. Honourable Matebula?
Thank you very much, Chair. My first question will be on the induction program. You have mentioned that, I don't remember the page there, I'm just shaking that slide, but you mentioned the issue of that you have trained 8 rural municipalities. I wanted to check which are those municipalities and when are you planning to induct all other municipalities. And the second one is the progress made regarding the Shaguni Gate. If you can at least give me a detail on how far is that program going. Thank you very much, Chair.
Chair, I want to be quick. It's just, I don't expect any response from this. It's just a matter of emphasis. If you speak about Little Morin Dam, you speak about a former tourist destination in Mafikeng particularly, where today if you speak about projects that are being implemented by Department of Tourism in the Northwest, you talk about 60s, you talk about let's go to Northwest, RHI around, you talk about what is coming now, which is a jazz festival that is coming on the first week of December. You can't talk about that outside the importance of Little Morin Dam. If you talk about Rampampa Stud, which is lying on the bushveld part of the peripheral part of Madikwe, on the other side, as you go towards Botswana, literally there's no economic activity except tourism. So I just want to emphasize that if you're still on the planning phase, as now there's now a new opinion about the planning phase in Little Morin, and there's Rampampa Stud and there's no progress, we might be sitting on the gems that might be able to spike up economic activities in such peripheral places of ours. And I'm just saying, if there's anything that can be done by the department to unlock such potential, can it be done? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Kabula, do you have anything to add, please?
Oh, thanks. Because of the chairperson, I want to talk. I'll honor that. Thanks for the question. Firstly, just a comment. I think government departments like to hand over money to other people to spend on their behalf. Your transfer was 2% of your total budget. Just a comment. The blue flag. I would have appreciated if you had mentioned in which species those programs are. Just mentioned the coastline of the four provinces. Is it does cover all the beaches and all the coastline of all the four provinces by selected ones? I'm saying, well, this is one of the key issues for tourism, especially in KZN. If your fish does not have a blue flag status, then tourists will not want to come to that beach during the festive season. You also mentioned that you have given support to 400 developing enterprises. One would be interested to know what kind of support is it, relevant support, is it sustainable? When you have left them, are they able to tap on that and develop further? And you also mentioned that there are 10 municipalities where you have initiated some programs, but you don't give us which one those municipalities are. And lastly, Chairperson, I see that in your top management, males are an endangered species.
Let me add just three quick questions to that. The first one, which you can give us the detail in writing later, is in your report you are not mentioning anything about transfrontier tourism activities. Now, there's this big youth development entrepreneurship program that's happening in Botswana as we speak. And Botswana and the Sun community there is also looking at attracting more tourists. Now, my question is more related to, do you have, and maybe that's for you then, under the question, do you have any documentation related to the SADC agreement that we have recently signed in the Department of Trade and Industry insofar as any aspects of tourism cooperation plans that you have for the Southern African region? Talking to our ambassador recently in Namibia, they are looking at extending their coastline as well. And I see we have marine tourism, and I'm sure that we could look at, when we look at Port Nolan in the Northern Cape, we look as well as how we could maybe better our services there, because I know that it is terribly cold, the oceans are cold. But some Europeans love it because it's so cold. They would prefer that cold ocean than to come to the Indian Ocean. That's my first question. My second question is related to the municipalities, maybe following on the question raised by the owner of Matabula, but to plead with you that when you engage with the municipalities, please speak to, or rather communicate with Pietra so that she can alert us that the both the department or SATO is going to go into that municipality so that we can be informed about that. If we have the available time, we can go. Alternatively, we also get called and communicated with by many tourism operators. Then we can tell them that there will be an event there so that we can maximize the impact of your engagement with the municipalities. My third and final question relates to the point raised by Honourable Mahwem. It's not the first time that he's mentioning Mahwem.
That's why I forgive you.
No. KG is where? I'm particularly worried, and now the DGG was there, and I thought that the Honourable Father will raise this one because it's his favourite one, the safety of tourists. Many of our ambassadors raised that as well. So I'm not necessarily raising that as a question in the past, but taking us forward. I know you're presenting your progress report to us now. But I want to say to you, because we won't have that opportunity again,
that our ambassadors are informing us that many people are not attracted to toll and travel to South Africa because of the information that they're getting about being unsafe. And I notice with appreciation that you have your tourism safety monitors and you're reporting to us very well in this report. But maybe to just say strategically, it's going to be important that we make sure that as our tourism numbers will be increasing with all the investments and all the incentives, and with our minister, deputy minister, just returning from China, when the Chinese starts coming here, we know their population is very big. If we get one third of that market, it will be a huge, and I wanted to say 1%, it's going to be huge. And just to urge you, please, that is one of the risks that you have as a department, and be as vigilant as you can in ensuring that we get sufficient monitors on the ground. Thank you, Acting GG. We give you a responsibility to lead your team in who responds on which one.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I think that there are questions largely related to the budget. I think before I hand over to the CFO to assure you that in fact a very small portion of the budget that is allocated to policy. The budget looks a little bit skewed because in that budget is actually the transfer that we make to SA Tourism. But I'll allow the CFO to speak to that. In fact, the lion's share of the budget does go to destination development, as is correctly the case. So I think if we can start with the CFO and then perhaps DDG Manan and DDG Rontele. For my notes, I don't think there are any questions for you, DDG Manan.
Thank you, Jay. On page 150 of our annual report, you will see that the transfer payment that we make to SA Tourism is 1.1 billion, and that will leave an amount of 67 million for policy and planning, which presents about 6.7% of our budget. On the question of the irregular expenditure, the amount is 271 rand 252.53 cents. It was six different transactions. The one was catering, one was for a PA system, the purchase of a whiteboard, marketing collateral, and then also labels that we purchased. So it is six different ones.
Thank you, Acting DG. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Chair, your question around our transfrontier activities. I think there's a bit of context to the response in the sense that the committee might be aware that there was a previous decision of SADC tourism ministers to restructure RITOSA. Traditionally, RITOSA was responsible for the marketing of the region. That process, on the one hand, was they will be responsible solely for marketing, and that the policy unit within the SADC secretariat for tourism will be re-established. That was implemented, but it posed some problems. And subsequently, in the last SADC council meeting, there was a decision to close down RITOSA. So at the moment, with the understanding, I must add that all countries are still in agreement that the objective of marketing the region is still a very important one. It's just that the vehicle that we use to do it seems not to be the most appropriate one. So in the meantime, the SADC secretariat was requested to also look into a plan, not only for the policy part of the decision, but also for promoting the region. So we are currently implementing that decision in winding down Retsosa. There is the SADC secretariat called a workshop now in the next week to discuss this development of tourism in the region. As a department, however, we've been working on a framework for the advancement of tourism within the region in collaboration with Transfrontier, the Boundless Africa part that is situated within environmental affairs, which drives mostly tourism activities within Transfrontier conservation areas. So there's a lot of work that we are currently doing in that space, which I'm sure in the near future we would have a finalized framework to present. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Maybe to indicate to Honourable that the Steve Biko Foundation were able to support it for over 3 years in terms of operational funding, and also to support them. I remember they had a hall which didn't have the speakers surrounding, so we're able to also support them on that. On the issue of how do we prioritize, we have close to 265 municipalities, and our prioritization is based on those municipalities which have potential for tourism, and wherein we will be able to also get support from the municipalities themselves. Because we all know that when the budget is a little bit going low, the first cut is from tourism. So the municipalities that we have supported in terms of capacity building, fortunately we have done a report since we started supporting them since 2015 to indicate how many we have gone to. It's 20, but for the past financial year it was 10. And the people who participate in this, traditional leaders are very few. Councillors also see, municipal officials, the business around, because our main is to help them to forge relationships for them to be able to capitalize on the potential of tourism around them. And call in experts. What we do, we ask them what are the areas they would like to be capacitated on. After doing that needs analysis, then we are able to go out and get the relevant people to come in and help. I always give this example of bushbuckers, because these are the people who were able to really latch on. They had an issue of traffic officials who were, I would say, harassing tourists. They were able to really deal with that, together with business, together with municipalities. I have the municipalities that have supported thus far. In Mpumalanga it was Bushbuckridge and Nkomazi, and in KZN it was Mkanyazi State, Zululand Municipality. In Eastern Cape it was Chris Hani, Owas Tambo, Sarah Batman, as well as Nelson Mandela. Alfred Nzo, and Joe Gabi, and so in Western Cape it was Westwood, because we are vitalizing the rural development strategy, tourism strategy. So we go into those areas, which also have been demarcated by the Department of Rural Development to be the poorest of the poor. For now, foreign case, we're going to that Mishau, as well as Namakwa. Dr. Ruth Mumpati, Nakamudiri Molema, Limpopo is Zembe, as well as Mumpati. We have now gone into and Chulamela. Those are the municipalities that we have been engaged in.
the issue of Palabora and Mish, what we have done, we have established them this year. Each incubator holds 50 enterprises. So we have recruited them. We haven't yet started with now capacitating them. But with them, Bilansberg, which now is in the last leg, because we are saying an entity to really thrive or to live is almost beyond 3 years. So after 3 years, you'll be able to be on your own, but won't just let them go. So what we do is to make sure that they are supported business-wise, because we know the main issue of SMMEs is lack of funding. But the problem is that when they go to this DFI, their paperwork is not in the right space or right order. So the main thing is to make sure that when they submit their proposals, they are able to also give supporting documents, which is what we are assisting them on. I've already indicated the municipality. Rambamba, Honorable Heavens out, is one of those villages that we feel they have potential and we can stimulate economic activity by making sure that we not only focus on tourism, but we take the value chain of the economy. We'll engage Petra in terms of when we go out, not only to municipalities, but as well as we have what we call awareness campaigns, where we are able to bring in the DFI, to bring in the banks, to come in, to help us impart information. Because another critical area is that people don't have information. So we'll be able to engage Petra on that as well. In terms of safety, Chairperson, we have already started. We have a forum which consists of provinces, SAPS, and as a department we are going to an MOU SAPS specifically for this. We have TBZA as a member, SAT, SASA. We have Fabric. Fabric is that business that deals with, I always say, ATMs. And as well as a group called Business Against Crime. So we are really getting together now. We are coming up with a strategy which will identify the hotspots, which will also come up with a protocol for communication. Because once there's a tourist in distress, how we communicate is a little bit clumsy. The two provinces that are able to communicate properly in Mpumalanga as well as the Western Cape. So we want to have that uniform, if I may say, communication when we have tourists in the district. And at the same time, added to that, our tourism monitor, who will be placing in attractions that we know they are prone to, can I say, crime-related issues? So, but at the same time, we're saying as much as we talk safety, we need not do it in such a way that we say we need to be like this. We need to be in touch when these things do happen.
Question from the Honourable Father.
Northern Cape, in total, out of the 400, what I'm having here is 21, but I'll have to verify it. Eastern Cape is 55, Free State is 39, Northwest is 22, Mpumalanga is 28, KZN is
Gauteng is facing. We have also disaggregated in terms of the youth as well as women and disabled, but unfortunately it's only KZN that has one person who is disabled.
Yes,
ma'am. 24425.
Thank you very much.
Honourable members, are we okay? Can we...
Sorry, Honourable Chair, I haven't responded to some of the destination development questions.
Sure.
Honourable Mofebo, you'll be delighted to know that we have several projects in the Eastern Cape. We've recently finished the Cradle 4 site. We've finished phase one of the six-day hiking trail, which is from Port St. John's to Coffee Bay. And in fact, we are in Port St. John's over the next 2 days, meeting with local authority and provincial authorities to look at tourism potential. We're also doing a master plan for that entire region, which is part of the coastal and marine tourism area of work. So the Eastern Cape, as with all provinces in the country, are quite firmly on our agenda, and there are several projects that we actually run in all provinces. With regards to the Blue Flag program, we can present a sent through to you, Honourable Chair, a list of the beaches that we are currently working on. At present, they actually are in three of the coastal provinces. So we work, of course, on beaches that have Blue Flag status. The 25 additional beaches don't have Blue Flag status, and we're working to upgrade those to that level. The only coastal province that we don't actually work in presently, that is part of our plan for this year, is the Northern Cape. But other than that, we work in KZN, the Western Cape, and of course the Eastern Cape on Blue Flag projects. On the Bontebe, with regards to Letla Moraine Dam, he isn't in the room, but I think that we take the comments about working speedily, given that that is a very important tourism asset within the space. And then with regards to Palaboa and how much we've spent on the developments there, we've in fact spent 20 million on developments there. Shangoni Gate, in terms of where it is at the moment, is that the EIAs have been approved, and the construction on the gates should commence shortly. But we can also provide additional detail with those in writing, Honourable Chair, so that they are a bit clearer. I think that covers all of them. The benefit of working with such a wonderful team is that they make the job of an acting DG very easy. Thank you, team.
Thank you. They only do it while they're here. Thank you very much. Can I just touch on two things? The one is on the general detail. Please send that on to us. But particularly on the information about the beaches, if I have the Honourable Kahula correctly, he lives in a coastal area, so we want to do that. Obviously, also then check how blue these beaches are, so to be specific and tell us which are the ones. And then also when you do that, to tell us what are the plans in terms of those that are not presently covered. Thank you very much, Acting DG or DTGs, DOCRO. We appreciate the work of the department generally. Please convey to your other members of the department our appreciation for the work that you are doing. You are one of those departments that has a major contribution to make towards our economic growth, and to ensure that some growth is inclusive and it contributes even more towards our GDP. So we, against that background, appreciate the fact that we could engage with you today. Thank you very much. Honourable members, we have had the minutes of the last meeting circulated to us. I have looked at the minutes, and I can guarantee you that I was happy with both the content as well as the typos in the minutes. There wasn't any when Rebecca sent it on to me.
but I wish to present that to you now.